This is Digital Story Podcast number 800, July 20th, 2021. Today's theme is Introduction to Infrared Photography. I'm Derek Story. Mysterious, wonderful, sometimes psychedelic, infrared photography can both marvel and baffle photographers at the same time. If you've been curious about IR, consider today's show an introduction to help you decide if this is the next frontier for you. I hope you enjoy the show. All right, before we get into the meat of today's show, I just have to say this. 800 episodes. Yes. Wow. You know, isn't that something? I never would have dreamed that we could have gone 800 episodes together, but we've done it and we're going to keep going. Thank you so much for your participation over the years. All right, let's get into infrared photography itself because this is really fun stuff. Now, way back in January, before I started going with the IR workshops, I talked about, you know, now is the time for infrared photography. And that was mainly because of the pandemic, because we were trapped and infrared allowed us to walk the same path that we had walked a million times during shelter in place, but it looked completely different, like going to a whole new planet. And what I felt at the time was absolutely right. You know, this is the kind of thing that can just keep us going, even when we can't go anywhere, right? Even when we can't go anywhere. Now we've done a few workshops, and I've been shooting quite a bit of IR since then, and I've really learned a lot. I've learned a lot, and the thing that I've discovered is that IR photography was fantastic for shelter in place, but it's just as fantastic when shelter in place is over, right? It's just as good. And why do I say that? Because it has so many advantages that visible light photography doesn't give to us. And the first one is being able to shoot during the lousy time of day, right? That right at the top of the list. So for example, let's say that you're planning a family vacation in August. All right, we actually get to do that this year. So you go on the family vacation. We know as photographers how this goes. You know, family comes first, as it should. Photography will come second. So a lot of times during the really sweet light, during the best parts of the day to take pictures, we're like having a family meal together or doing some sort of activity, and you and I are not taking pictures. The cool thing about IR, if you have IR, you know, tools with you, and we're going to talk about those tools, is that then during the middle part of the day when the kids are taking a nap or, you know, the partner has gone shopping or whatever, normally you would go, well, great, now I have time. But with IR photography, that is the best time to shoot. So that time of day thing just gets totally turned upside down. So now when you do have sweet light, you can work invisible photography. When you have lousy, you know, midday, harsh, contrasty stuff, you can use your IR photography kit and you can shoot whenever the opportunity presents itself. And I think that's just huge. The next thing that I've learned over the last 6 or so months of serious IR photography is that you can take the same capture, the same frame that you have on your memory card, and you can make 5 different images with it. I mean, completely different images with it. So like with visible light photography, generally speaking, we're going down the path to make whatever we have captured as good as possible. We're trying to discover, you know, the best version of that shot. IR photography, you're thinking much differently. You're opening up that file and you're going, where do I want to go today? Where do I want to go today? And you can go any one of a number of ways, all of them looking different. And then 5 years later, you could open up that same file and go another 5 ways, or 5 minutes later, you could do that. So it just allows this sort of creative flexibility in post-production that I don't experience nearly as much with visible light photography. I also think that the black and white version of IR photography, I love the drama. It has everything that I like in black and white photography, which is, you know, really good blacks, really vibrant whites, you know, all that drama that I think is so important in many types of black and white photography. And IR does that so very well. So I like that as well. So it goes beyond just having a different view of the world that you already know, which is, that was the emphasis a few months ago, to all these other benefits. So let's talk a little bit about that. How do you get started? Does it cost a lot of money to get going with it? You know, all that kind of stuff. I think we should start with, well, what is IR photography? And if you talk about, you know, light, and you talk about visible spectrum, which is the light we can see with our eyes, and then you talk about the infrared segment of this of a spectrum, which is the light that we can't see with just our eyes, but we can see by using tools such as cameras with filters and so forth, it is a different chunk. You know, it really, if you go from, let's say, left to right on the spectrum, you'd have UV, that chunk, and then you'd have visible light in the middle, and then you have IR, you know, to the right. It's something like that. And I'm just doing very broad brushstrokes here. The IR segment of the spectrum we can tap into fairly easily with tools, with photography tools. So what are those tools? Well, I thought what I would do is I would do a little IR Q&A right now, because since I have done a couple of these workshops now and been working on it myself and been talking with people, I've fielded a lot of questions over the last 6 months. And I thought I would take those most common questions and share them with you right now along with the answers. All right. And this sounds kind of fun. We'll shake it up a little bit. We'll do it. So here's the first one. Do I need a special camera to make IR photos? The short answer is no, you do not. But you do need a camera that will respond to IR light or that IR part of the spectrum. And that mainly depends on what sort of IR blocking filter has been put in your camera. Because the IR light, there is, if you're doing strictly visible light, there is some advantage to blocking out the IR part, because it can, you know, degrade the image a little bit. So they put in these IR blocking filters, camera manufacturers do, to sort of control that to give you better visible light photos. Some cameras have stronger IR blocking filters than others. And as I've mentioned in previous shows, you can test this by putting your camera in live view and then just shining, you know, pointing an IR remote control at the lens, push a button like the power button or whatever, something that would send an IR beam, and then see if you see the dot on your LCD. If you do, then you have a camera that can respond to IR light to some degree. All right. So that part is very important. My Fujifilm cameras work very well. I've shot with my Olympus cameras. I do IR photography with an unmodified Fujifilm X100V all the time. So you don't need a modified camera for IR photography. Now, at some point, if you really start to like this, you will want a modified camera. I'm going to talk about that in the next question, but let me tell you why. The filter that you need on an unmodified camera is a Hoya R72. Hoya R72 that allows you to do infrared photography with a regular camera. That filter is very dense. It's a very dense filter. Hold it up to your eye and you will see how dense it is. So what happens is, even though you can capture infrared photography, you're going to have higher ISOs and at the same time, slower shutter speeds, even in very bright light, which is what you shoot in most of the time with infrared photography. So at some point, if you really like this, if you really like the work that you're creating, you know, with your camera and your R72 filter, you're going to want more versatility. You're going to want to be able to shoot at normal shutter speeds, at, you know, 1/125th, 1/250th, 1/1000th, that kind of thing. Then at that point, then you might start thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have a modified camera? Because then the advantage of a modified camera is then it's just like taking regular pictures in terms of shutter speed and aperture and all that kind of stuff. So you don't need a special camera to make IR photos, but at some point, if you really like infrared, you probably will want one. All right, second question. If I want to get a modified camera for IR, what should I look for? And this is where it gets really fun and interesting, I think. So if you go to an infrared equipment site, the one that we work with is Kalari, and I have a tile for them on all the pages of the Digital Story, so it's really easy. You can just click on that tile, and it'll take you right over to their site. They offer different configurations for infrared photography. And there's a couple ways that you can go. One is you can buy a camera that's already modified, and then they just send it to you. Another is, and this is one that a lot of people like to do, they send a camera that they really like, but it has become their backup camera because they got a newer model in that same lens mount. They send that in to be converted to IR, and then they can use all their lenses and accessories and all that sort of stuff. But Kalari or any of the other services will ask you some questions before they do that. And they go, well, how do you want it modified? And there are a few ways to go on that. One is you can modify it for a specific IR slice of the spectrum, right? So, and those basic slices are 590, 665, 720, 850. Those are like the kind of the biggies right there, the common slices of the spectrum. So for instance, if you modify it for 590, then you can shoot both color and black and white infrared photography. If you go up the scale more to 720, it doesn't have much color. And if you go all the way up to 850, that's black and white photography. That's black and white IR. So these different stops on the spectrum, you know, have different results. One that's sort of in between is a 665. So it has some color, but not as much as 590, but more than 720. You know, so you've got these different stops. So the one way to go is to modify your camera for a specific spot on the spectrum, 590, 720, etc. Now, if you do decide to do that, I recommend 590. And the reason being is that if you modify it at 590, you can add filters to hit those other spots going up. You can always go up on the IR spectrum, but you can't go backwards. If you modify it for 720 and say, I want a 720 camera, you can go up to 850, so you can get even more crazy black and white, but you can't go down. You can't go backwards to 590. If you're going to do just one, I would pick 590, and that leaves you with some options going forward. However, I think a better way to go is what they call the dual spectrum conversion. And on that, it is converted for the entire IR spectrum. And when I say the entire IR spectrum, I mean the entire IR photography spectrum, you know, what we use for photography, and for visible light. That's why they call it dual spectrum. So it's both for visible light and IR. If you go this route, this provides you with a lot of versatility. You have a ton of versatility. First of all, you can hit anywhere you want on the photography IR spectrum. You have to buy filters in order to do that. And people go, well, I just had this conversion. I just paid for the, why do I have to buy filters? I thought I was getting away from filters. No, the filters help you shoot at the point in the IR spectrum that you want. The advantage is, of course, that you're just shooting at regular shutter speeds and stuff. So, you know, and you can go anywhere that you want. So you do need filters still for a dual spectrum conversion. However, you have complete versatility depending on which filter you put on the camera. And you can shoot visible light photography with that same camera, which is a real bonus. That means just one camera, but you have to use a filter to do that as well. And that is called a hot mirror filter, hot mirror. And Kalari makes a terrific one. They've just upgraded the hot mirror 2 filter that they came out with. Looks fantastic. The pictures just look beautiful. They look like a regular camera. So that's the advantage of having a dual spectrum camera. You can, depending on what filter you put on it, you can shoot invisible light and you can shoot practically anywhere along the photographic IR spectrum. Super versatile. Now, the other thing about it is I highly recommend going with mirrorless as opposed to DSLR for your conversion, and a mirrorless with an electronic viewfinder, because if you do that on a converted camera, you put on the filter, let's say you put on the 720, you look through the electronic viewfinder, and what you see is what you're capturing. So you're seeing black and white IR when you look through there, you know, and that is really cool on a converted camera. That is super important. The other thing that you need to just keep in mind, I'm not going to drill too deep because this is sort of a Q&A here, but you need to learn about custom white balance settings for the different parts in the spectrum that you want to shoot. So just put a bookmark there so that if you ever get that far, you will want to learn about the best custom white balance settings for the type of IR photography that you're doing. Yes, if you want to get a modified camera for IR, I highly recommend a mirrorless camera and one that's converted to dual spectrum. That is going to give you the most versatile option. All right, third question. Why do colors sometimes look so weird in IR photography? And the answer to that is because they can be, because the photographer can do that if he or she wants. There are so many different ways to go, and it all at this point really has to do with processing. But you can make IR photographs, let's say in black and white, that have really broad appeal. People will look at it and go, that is a gorgeous black and white photograph, very stunning, very dramatic, to something totally crazy in color that absolutely looks like it's from another planet. And you can do everything in between. So I think that's where photographers really start to have a lot of fun with it. And at some point they go, you know, I'm making these photographs for me, not for everyone else. And that allows them to really experiment with the color and do all sorts of interesting things. But if they wanted to, they could take that same file and do something that would have very broad appeal, you know, where the colors are not so far out of bounds. So IR photographers have that kind of control, and I will tell you, that's part of the appeal for this type of work. The fourth question, will my camera focus properly when capturing infrared? And I think this question comes from back in the film days where you had that little IR index mark on the focusing collar, where you had to move infinity to that little different spot. For me, on Micro Four Thirds cameras that have been converted to IR, I have had no focusing problems at all. The converted camera with the filter on it seems to focus just fine. I don't need any special lenses. I don't need any lenses with IR marks. I'm using autofocus. I'm just shooting like I would shoot, and it's going great. So I do, you know, pay attention to depth of field and all of that. Micro Four Thirds gives us excellent depth of field, so I'm usually just focusing in about a third and letting everything go its own way. I have had no problems, nothing special to worry about with focusing on modern cameras for infrared photography. And then finally, the fifth question, what's the best software to process infrared photos? The short answer to this is any software that has a channel mixer. That is the one tool that you need for color IR photography. You need a channel mixer, and that allows you to do something that you'll hear in IR circles as a red-blue swap. And basically you invert the colors on those two channels, and that's where you start to get some of those really cool looking, you know, IR effects for color photography. Applications that have a channel mixer, off the top of my head, Photoshop has one, On1 Effects has one, and Raw Power has one. And I use those three applications for processing my IR work. Inherently, Lightroom does not have a channel mixer. So a lot of people that want to work with their Lightroom library, what they'll do is they'll get On1 Effects, and or they'll use Photoshop, and they'll round trip from Lightroom to either Photoshop or On1 Effects, use the channel mixer, and then bring the image back into the Lightroom catalog. Also, if you use Photos, you can use On1 Effects because it's a plugin for Photos. Use the channel mixer there. But I also like, if you're a Mac user, Raw Power is excellent. It's very affordable, and it has a very nice channel mixer as well. So those are the three applications that I recommend. On1 Effects and Photoshop both are Mac and Windows, and Raw Power is Mac only. And excellent software. Probably you have one of those right now that you can use to process your IR images. Alrighty, so there's a little bit of Q&A. I hope that answers some of the questions that you might have. The workflow that I suggest, if you just want to play with it and get your feet wet, is test your cameras, find the camera that has the best response to the remote control, the IR beam on the remote control. Get an R72 filter that fits a lens that you want to use with that camera. And, you know, usually you want to get a filter that's, you know, a little bigger than some of your other lenses so that you can use step-down rings if you want to use it on multiple lenses. And then shoot in black and white mode. Like, for instance, on my Fujifilm camera, I would shoot in Acros and shoot RAW plus JPEG. The JPEG's going to look really cool. You'll have this really red RAW file until you start to learn some of the nuances of IR photography, such as custom white balance and so forth. But you can get these fantastic JPEGs right out of the shoot, and then just start playing with them. Just start seeing what you can do. That will be a good entry into infrared photography, and then you can start building your knowledge and decide where to go from there. I will tell you that I love IR photography. It's very exciting. The folks in my workshop love IR photography, and they are the most active workshop that I've had since I've been doing online workshops. The IR photography workshops are the folks that are really going crazy with this. And I think if you give it a chance, and especially if you're in North America right now, summertime of months, travel, all that, boy, it can be really cool when you're out and about any time of day that has lots of light. Just do some IR work and see what you think. Speaking of infrared workshops, we have one coming up in September. It starts on September 22nd. We still have a couple seats open for that workshop. It's an online workshop. It runs for a month. We have one session a week, and we offer, you know, an AM session and a PM session, and that generally works for almost anyone's time zone. You can go over to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, and you can take a look at all the details for that workshop, or you can click on the link in the show notes. That'll take you directly to the workshop. It begins on September 22nd, runs a month, and I'll tell you, you will get everything that you want to get out of IR photography through this workshop. These things are very fun. It's great sharing with the other people in the workshop, and you will gain a lot of knowledge as well. So I just read about this lens today, and I wanted to share this note with you. So TT Artisan releases a $150 7.5 millimeter F2 fisheye APS-C lens for seven camera mounts for $150 F2. This was on DP Review. Let me read you a little bit about it. And then I also have the link to the original story in the show notes, so you can go over there and read everything about it. TT Artisans has released a new 7.5 millimeter F2 fisheye lens for a long list of mirrorless camera systems. The lens is constructed of 11 elements in 8 groups, including 2 low dispersion elements and 3 high refractive index elements. It features a minimum focusing distance of 5 inches, uses a 7-blade aperture diaphragm, and has an aperture range of f2 through f11. Due to the front element extending beyond the front of the lens, no filters can be used without third-party adapters. Now check out this list. All right, here we go. The lens is available for Canon EOS M, Canon RF, Fujifilm X, Leica L, Micro Four Thirds, Nikon Z, and Sony E-mount camera systems. However, due to it being an APS-C lens, full-frame cameras will need to be used in crop shooting mode or crop in post-production to avoid circle vignetting. TT Artisan doesn't mention physical measurements, but it does note the lens weighs between 343 and 370 grams, which is about 12 to 13 ounces, varying based on the lens mount version that you choose. The 7.5 millimeter F2 fisheye lens is available from TT Artisan's online shop for $149 in each of the mounts. The first orders will ship out on July 21st, 2021. And like I said, I have a link to the story in the show notes, and there you can get the link to the website to buy it and all that kind of stuff. I just think this is really cool. I mean, I've been talking a lot about wide-angle lenses lately, and even on Sunday's post on Digital Story, I was talking about how much I love the ultra-wide camera on my iPhone 12 Pro Max. And again, on my Micro Four Thirds cameras, this will be a 15 millimeter F2 fisheye lens. That's really nice. I saw some pictures with it. It looks good. The price is right. It isn't too big. Almost what's not to love here, right? What's not to love here? The only thing that I could think would be that it is a fisheye, right? So it does have that fisheye effect, which if you don't like that effect, then okay, this lens won't be for you. Other than that, though, everything else stacks up really nicely. A pretty cool lens. It would be fun to play with. Nikon says ZFC shipments will be slow, delays 28mm f2.8 kit lens indefinitely. Now, this is a Petapixel article, and I have a link to it in the show notes, and you can read the entire article there. I want to skip to the part, well, let me read you an intro paragraph, then I want to skip to the part about the 28 millimeter lens. Nikon has announced that while it intends to begin shipping the Nikon ZFC cameras on schedule starting July 23rd, it does not have the supply to meet all the demand. Additionally, overwhelming numbers for orders of the 28 millimeter F2.8 special edition kit have forced the company to delay it indefinitely. Wow, indefinitely. So what's going on there? Well, let's take a look. Here's what Nikon says. The ZFC 28mm F2.8 Special Edition Kit, which is scheduled to be released in late July 2021, has received a large number of reservations beyond expectations, and due to the delay in parts supply, the supply amount is insufficient for release. It is not expected to be available. Therefore, we have decided to postpone the release. We will inform you of the release date as soon as it's confirmed. And they then go on to sincerely apologize for any inconvenience. So what the author said of the article is that a shortage of parts likely caused by the global silicon shortage and the AKM factory fire last year has resulted in extremely slow production from Nikon and other camera manufacturers over the last year. At the time, AKM factory leadership expected to be able to rebuild and restart production quickly, but the company was only able to start the recovery process in April of this year, 6 months after the fire. It will be some time before AKM is able to return to its former manufacturing level. The lack of parts combined with Nikon shuffling its own factories has likely exacerbated the production issue for the camera company. Just like with AKM, it may be a while before Nikon is able to return to full manufacturing capacity. Wow, too bad. I mean, part of me goes, why are you always surprised by the response to these things? Because we seem to see that all the time. And then second, why would you announce something that you didn't have the parts or the production capacity to produce? I mean, I get having like delays, but canceling the lens indefinitely, that's crazy to me. That's just really crazy to me. Too bad, too. That was one that I was really looking forward to shooting with. We'll see. We'll see if I get to in 2021 at all. Time will tell there. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. First, I want to give a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. They are the ones that support this community and this podcast month in and month out. Thank you so much, Inner Circle members, for both your financial support and for your advice and help with guiding this ship in the right direction. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of Digital Story. Take a look, and hopefully you too will become an Inner Circle member. I want to remind you about my writing on Medium.com. I have almost 30 articles now. I may have 30 articles now. And they're all about photography one way or another, but with a twist, a little different than what you'll hear from me on the podcast or what you'll see on the Digital Story site. Go over to Medium.com, search on my name, take a look at the articles. I hope you enjoy them. They're short. I keep them to about 3 minutes each. And if you like what you read, please clap for them. And if you want to follow me on Medium.com, I would love that as well. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, the gurus of printing. These are the folks that live for inkjet printing. They do. They have a variety of paper stocks. They have lots of information on their site. They have all the goodies that you need to go with your projects, envelopes, glassine sleeves, stuff like that. They have unusual paper, panorama fine art cards, for example, square fine art cards, which are totally cool, by the way. And they have the envelopes to go with the square fine art cards. You can make some truly interesting and unique gifts or even for sale products with Red River Supply. Just click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over there and take a look. Let your creative juices flow. Create something beautiful and then share it with the world. And they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. And a big thanks to them for sponsoring this show. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed our chat on infrared photography. Come back and join me next week for more interesting subjects. Until then, be safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.